Northwoods Online. My name's Hope.
And my name's Trey.
And we are so glad that you are joining us this Sunday. Trey, what do we have going on today?
Well, we've got a lot of things going on. We have the first thing, obviously, the opportunity to have you join us in the chat.
For sure.
And let us know where you're from. What are you doing? What'd you have for breakfast? How do you like your coffee? Any of these things are all valid, okay? Just drop it in the chat below.
Absolutely.
And while you're here, I mean, if you're new here too, you got a couple things special for you, all right?
For sure.
My friend Hope's going to tell you about that.
Yeah, so if you are new, first of all, we just want to say welcome.
Yeah.
And we are so excited that you joined us today. And I would love to get to know you and connect with you. So if you want to text the word new to the number that's going to show up on your screen, that's going to put you in a text message with me and I can answer any questions that you might have. Now, for people who have been around for a while, we're going to ask you to do something a little different. We would love for you to take out the Northwoods app and fill out the connection card.
That's right.
It's another good way to just connect, for us to know what's going on in your life. Some people, you know, give us some feedback or send in prayer requests, and it's also a great place to get next steps. So you're going to hear us talk in announcements today about some next steps that might be interesting to you, and a lot of times you can get quick information for those in the connection card.
Yeah, and people use that connection card for all types of things. I know there are some people out at our Canton campus, and they'll drop like dad jokes in there.
Oh my gosh,
and y'all, I love dad jokes, okay? So just go ahead, throw your best one in there too. Obviously, your prayer needs are also important, but come on, we also need the dad jokes.
We do.
And one of the things you can figure out about in that app too is also how you can get plugged in and volunteer, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we just want to make you aware of. This church, it's not really just put on by a bunch of staff people, but you guys at home, you can be joining us online, or if you join us in person typically, we've got special areas. There's like so many opportunities to be able to get plugged in and really kind of like let this church feel like your own, you know? It's not something that we come to, but it's something that we want to invite you to be a part of as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so we also today are kicking off a brand new series.
That's right.
And so engaging in the weekend is obviously one of those ways that you can get involved and get connected. There are a lot of ways to serve on the weekend and throughout the week, but this weekend we're pumped because, well, at least I'm pumped about this new series. So
it's all about hope. Well, hope specifically for your home.
Yes, all about hope for your home. And we're going to talk about things like worry. That's what Pastor Cal's going to teach on today. Anger, parenting, which Trey, I think you're probably going to be extra.
Yeah, he's around here somewhere. I mean,
Trey and his wife, Kenzie, just welcomed in the cutest baby into their family right before Christmas.
Right before Christmas.
And so you might need to have that lesson on repeat.
Yeah, we're just going to like keep that on 24/7 because we need as much help as we can get, okay?
Yeah. And then after that weekend on parenting, we are actually going to have a lot of our mission partners here. So we are excited for that and to get going with this new series. It's going to be awesome. It's a great opportunity for you to invite people into your home also to watch with you. So I think that's pretty much everything that we have for you so far this morning. We hope that you enjoy service and have an awesome Sunday.
Church, let's go ahead and stand all across this room and online. Just want to invite you to lift your hands with me today. The Word of God says, cast all of your burdens onto Him because He cares for us. So let's run to the Father with confidence this morning as we worship His name. Come on, let's sing. Just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My heart can't help but believe. Come on, lift your voice. There's not a mountain that He can move. Yeah, that's right. Sing it out. Come on.
Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that a God can do.
Come on, you believe that this morning? We sing.
Just one word, you heal what's broken inside me. Just one word, and you're reviving the dream.
Yes, Lord.
Just one touch, I feel the power of heaven, yeah. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see, my heart can.
Come on, sing it out.
There's nothing that a God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, raise the name that makes a way. There's nothing.
Faith arise and let all agree, there's no power like the power. Come on, sing it out.
I will believe.
Yeah.
For greater things, there's no power like the power.
Come on, lift your voice
Jesus.
Today.
Let faith arise,
yeah.
Let all agree. 'cause you have the last word.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark. differently this morning, you stay standing. But we're gonna intentionally take some time to let the Holy Spirit encourage some hearts here today as we pray for each other. So what we're gonna do is the worship team is gonna keep playing. And I just feel like there are two groups of people the Lord put on my heart for us to pray for today. First group, if you're here this morning and you would say that you've been battling debilitating fear in your life. We've all battled fear at some level the last few years, but I'm talking about if you've been battling fear that's it's so great, it's disrupting your day-to-day. It's an abnormally high level of fear. If that's you, we want to pray for you. But also specifically, the second group we want to pray for, if you're here this morning and you've been battling financial fear, fear and worry about your financial security, about having enough for your needs to be met. If that's you in here today, I want you to take a bold step. I want you to raise your hand if you fall into one of those two groups today. Raise your hand. You're saying you're okay to receive prayer this morning. Come on. We got a few up in the balcony. Okay, now keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Those around them, I want you to gather around those that have raised their hand. Keep them up. Everyone else that's standing, gather around the people that have raised their hands. We're going to pray for them. Don't start praying right now. Just find someone around you that's raised their hand and get to them. There's some up here in the balcony. We're going to need help getting some of these people in the balcony. Make sure everyone has a few people around them. You can step out into the aisles if you need to. We got a hand up right over there. He needs a few people around him. I think we're covered up here. So make sure everybody has someone around them. Okay, so here's what I want us to do. If you raise your hand to receive prayer, you just share your name and just give a short sentence or two. You don't need to go into details. Just give a short sentence or two about what group you fall into, what it is you're struggling with. Okay? And then those that are praying for them, I know some of you have already feel comfortable with placing hands on people, but ask permission if you can. Ask permission if it's okay that you place a hand on their shoulder. Okay? Short, quick prayers. We only have a few minutes here. Short, quick prayers to give everyone a chance to pray out loud. And then if you have a prayer language, we're going to ask that you don't use that audibly in this time. Okay? So worship team is going to keep playing and they're going to keep singing over you. Those that raised your hand, you go ahead right now. You share your request and you guys just pray.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Good Father.
We together say, Lord, set us free to walk in courage, to walk in peace. Every heart here, God, that is shaking today from fear, God, I pray a settledness, a peace, the very peace of Jesus that you said, Lord, you give to us. Give your peace by the Holy Spirit to every single heart here today. And I ask, Lord, for those that need financial provision, that you would supernaturally supply every single one of their needs according to your glorious riches in Christ, and that you would assure their hearts again that you take care of the birds, you take care of the lilies. How much more will you take care then of a son or a daughter, a child of God? You know their needs before they ask. Set your peace, Lord, we ask, on their hearts and their minds today. We pray it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. You can stay standing. Stay standing, but find your seats, okay? We're gonna sing one more song to the Lord. One more song together. Let's join our hearts and sing to Him.
Oh,
into glorious light. Glory to His name. Won't you put your hands in the air and sing? Glory to His name. Thank you, Lord. There to my heart was the blood of light. Oh, glory to His name.
Yes, amen. Amen. Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you for the gift that we could never earn and never deserved, and yet you freely gave it. We honor you, Lamb who was slain, Jesus Christ, for the sins of the world. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, today, would you show us again the wonder of what Jesus did at the cross, that we would rejoice every day and in every season that our names are written in heaven, that we are secure in your love by the blood of Jesus. We give you thanks for that today, and it's in your name, Jesus. Everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, welcome to Northwoods. You can go ahead and find your seats. My name is Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here, and we went dark. I know you can't see me online, but I promise you I'm still here. Here, right there I am. Okay, I'm here. Anyways, if you were encouraged by that time of prayer we had during worship, I want to let you know about another opportunity coming up this week. Okay, it's this coming Thursday at lunchtime. That's noon, from 12 to 12:30. And it's just a time where you can hop on to northwoods.online, and we're just going to pray for anyone and everyone. Whatever your prayer need, your prayer request, it's going to be a time of praying for those that are in need. So this coming Thursday, all right, if you need more prayer, hop on to northwoods.online, wherever you're at noon to join us for that, okay? Now, if you're new here, we always give a shout out to the new people because we not only want to say welcome, but we really do want to meet you, all right? We don't want you to just jump onto the back row and then skedaddle out of here before anyone has a chance to say hi or get to know your name. So if you're brand new, here's what I want you to do. Pull out your phone and text N-E-W, the word new, to the number up on the screen, and that's going to get you connected with one of the pastors here so that you can begin to meet some people here at Northwoods and really get plugged in. And then for the rest of you, you know, pull out that Northwoods app, open up the connection card, fill that out, and then if you're giving today, you know that you can give at the drop boxes at the back of the auditorium. You can give online, by text, by mail, whatever you prefer. But we always want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your continued generous giving, because that's what allows all the ministries that happen here at Northwoods day in and day out to continue happening. So thank you for your giving. Now, speaking of giving, all right, there's a day coming up where y'all couples are supposed to be giving some love to each other, okay? Valentine's Day is coming up, and I'm willing to bet that most of the men here in the house have not even started planning at all. You have no idea what you're going to do, but guess what? We've made it super easy for you. Check out this video.
Hey guys, it's Kristen and Danny.
What's up?
You may know us from our online videos where we believe laughter is the best medicine. And when we're not making videos, we're traveling across the country, entertaining and speaking at live events.
And we're coming your way for date night with Kristen and Danny. So grab your spouse and come on out, guys. We're gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna play some games, get to know you, and share a little about our journey in marriage.
Ooh, and it's been a journey indeed.
Yes, it has.
I mean, if by journey you mean struggle and hardship and really hard times.
All right, okay, wow.
I'm just trying to be authentic. So mark your calendars, come on out. We hope to see you there.
And remember, laughter is the best medicine.
I mean, babe, this has been hard.
hard, you know? I mean, you've been challenging, you know? What? I mean, at times, I mean, it's what? It's...
There we go, there we go. Kristen and Danny, that couple, they're going to be here on the Peoria campus Valentine's Day, February 14th at 6 p.m. They're hosting a date night for all couples. And yes, man, I know you're asking, there is going to be great food, okay? Don't worry about that. There's going to be great food. So for $60 a couple, you get the great food. You get Kristen and Danny. You're going to have a fun time. You're going to make some memories. You're going to build into your relationship with each other and build into your faith together. And I forgot to announce this last service, but I'm telling you guys, okay, you get the inside scoop that registration closes this coming Tuesday for that event. So don't put it off, okay? If you want to go, sign up, go to northwoods.church/date night. That's where you can register, okay? Now, last thing is we challenged you last Sunday to get involved with serving. I want to show you today how you get involved in serving here at Northwoods. So go ahead and pull out your phone, and then what you do is you go to the App Store and you search for Northwoods. And you pop it in and, oh, there it is. Open it up or download it. You can go to the sandwich bar right there. Boom. Opportunities, okay? And then when you click on find opportunities, it's going to show you all kinds of stuff. You just scroll through. There we go. It's got all kinds of opportunities. It shows you every different way that you can get involved in serving here at the church. So I want to challenge you today, if you're not yet involved serving in the life of the church, go use that opportunities finder to see all the different options available for you to get involved, all right? Now, that's all I've got, so make sure you've got your Bibles, make sure you've got your notes, and when the bumper is done playing, so not now, when the bumper's done playing, all right, I want you to give a huge, loud, warm welcome to our senior pastor who is now officially in the Hall of Fame, okay? Nice and loud for him when the bumper is done.
How's Northwoods doing today? Good to see you guys. I don't know what he's talking about. What Hall of Fame is he talking about? No, I got notified by my high school. They want to put me in the Hall of Fame. I always tell people, the older you get, the better you were. Nobody remembers me, man. That's 45 years ago. And so I told them when they called, I said, do you guys realize 45 years ago, like 1977, if you told me you were putting somebody in the Hall of Fame from 1932, I said, did you guys shoot on peach baskets or what? Did you know how to play back then, you know? But no, I was honored. We had 10 of us had an opportunity to just have a great meal together with different people that we could invite and this type of thing. So yeah, it was fun. Little pictures of yourself running around when you're 18 years old, you know, and that type of thing. Hall of Fame, wow. You know what I told them? So you guys have heard this story before, because second grade on up, there was an aura about that little lobby off the gymnasium because the big pictures went up over the trophy case for people who had been all Ohio. My oldest brother went up there, state track, you know, and then Some of his classmates, bigger than life, you know, Steve Reddick, Rick Stotzer, all these guys. And second grade, I'm telling you, I'm like, if I can get my picture up there one day, I'll be somebody. And that became my heart's goal and desire. So when I received All Ohio my junior year basketball, I knew when my senior picture was taken, in those days, you know, they're bringing the horses and the dogs and everything. No, I just want this face. Because it's going up there over the, I mean, my dream was going to be realized. Sure enough, senior year, All Ohio again, and And there was a day when they put the great big old senior picture with its nice wire that would hang up there. And it went up, I think, for like 2 or 3 days. And then we received them in the mail. Because they said, we're getting too many pictures up over the trophy case. We've run out of room. We're taking them all down. I said, how's that for working all your life for what you thought would fulfill? And then they, so you remember, I told you about James Dobson talking about how he won in Point Loma University. He wanted to win champion tennis player of the city, right? And he did. And his big old trophy went up in the trophy case. And 15 years later, a guy from the school came by, said, James, I was over to our school the other day and I found this in the dumpster. Thought you might want it. They had tossed all the trophies. And I remember James saying, live long enough and someday life will trash your trophies. Then the only thing that will remain is who loved you, and what you did with Jesus. So I got to preach that message in about 7 minutes as I gave mine. I said, guys, I am honored, but I want you to know, I learned a long time ago that pictures up over the trophy case can't fulfill the deepest need of the heart. I want to remind you all that there is another Hall of Fame coming that I hope you're all a part of, and that's that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Get that, and everything else is gravy. Amen? So anyway, welcome, and those of you online, great to have our online family with us as well. We're going to begin a short 3-week series on hope for your home today, and our topic today is hope for your worry problem. Now, I don't know how many of you are prone to worry. I was never much of a worrier. It's still not a big deal in my life, but there was nothing like having kids that sort of kickstarted a different level of worry in my life than I had known to that point. You know, they didn't come with a manual, right? And all of a sudden it's like, well, what if we mess them up? Well, we did. Well, honey, why is he crying like that? There must be something drastically wrong. No, it's just you stuck him with the pin when you were changing his diaper. Are we going to have enough money to feed him? Well, maybe. What about buy him basketball shoes? Buy them a car when the time comes. How are we going to put them through college? Man, I remember those days, and all I can say is thank God I'm an empty nester today. Now that my kids are raised and out of the house, I can tell you I worry about nothing. I just watch them raising their kids and I sit back and just smile. Lord bless them. But boy, did they help develop my prayer life back in the day. You know that guy that was just out here praying for everybody? You know, he'd like to have thrown us into full-blown panic mode the night he was born. December 19th, 1994. Nathan decided to announce his arrival by creating a little mayhem in the delivery room. Informing that moment was the fact that just 5 years earlier, Susan and I had lived through a troubled pregnancy and the resulting death of our infant son, Christopher, 5 or 10 hours after he was born. And now with Nathan, Susan had experienced some issues in this pregnancy that seemed eerily similar to her pregnancy with Christopher, all of which had kind of kept us on pins and needles a bit throughout the pregnancy. But finally, here we were, full term, ready to exhale that we had made it. We're at the hospital, doctor's set to induce labor. So we were all excited. Things were going in fine till he broke the water. He was gonna break the water, then he was gonna leave and go see his daughter play basketball and then come back in like 2 hours and hopefully at that point, Susan's ready to roll. But no, he broke the water and all of a sudden we got a problem. Apparently at that point, the placenta had pulled away from the uterine wall. And so now, over the course of a minute or two, we watched as all the monitors indicated that our new baby was experiencing major stress and needed to be delivered immediately. They got about a 5-minute window to work with there. And so the monitors are showing, Nathan is basically shutting down and saying, get me out of here quickly because I can't breathe. Right? There's no placenta to the wall. There's nothing that's feeding him anymore. One In one moment, our calm little room turned into panic central. Doctor said to me, I'm sorry, Cal, this is not a scene you're going to want to see, because I was supposed to go in and be a part of the delivery, right? Nope, can't do that. He said, we just got to go now. And with that, he and a couple of nurses were sprinting down the hall, pushing Susan's bed as fast as they could go, like, make way, you know. And they're off to do an emergency C-section, at which point I'm left standing alone in that room with the images of the nightmare we had lived through 5 years earlier, trying to take over my mind. I assure you, I was not the picture of calm standing in there and going, wow, isn't this interesting? Thank you for the challenge right now, Lord. It's just awesome. No, it's like the red alert system was on in my life, and rightfully so. I dissolved into a puddle of tears as fear gripped my heart and the whispers of what if it happens again began to flood my heart and mind. I've never felt so helpless and so alone in all my life, at which point I did the only thing I knew to do. And I began in that room to just call out to God. And I was at the top of my lungs, God, not again, no. Lord, please save my baby. A few moments later, pulling myself together, I thought, well, I've got to find out what's going on. And so I made my way towards the delivery room, and I had to go around this corner where I could see into a waiting room, and there were like our two best friends standing there, and I just fell into their arms sobbing and saying, you got to pray right now, we're in a little bit of trouble, you know. They prayed with me for just a moment, and then I said, I got to go see what's going on. And guys, it was like one of the busiest nights Methodist that year. They were having deliveries all over the place, and as I was approaching the delivery room, a nurse came flying out. She's literally running down the hall. She said, where's the father? I said, that would be me. She was nearly running because she was on her way to deliver another child. And as she flew past me, this is how it was. Congratulations, you got a baby boy, he's fine, and your wife's fine. And I'm telling you, I did. I just nearly, my knees almost buckled, but I was just in a puddle of tears again as my, you know, the panic gave way to tears of joy and relief. That was Nathan's grand entrance, and he's been creating panic ever since. not really. Great kid, but you know, as we're raising him, you know, I've got my two daughters going, Dad, you're going to have to tell him to put that Batman cape away. But he's like eighth grade, still got his Batman cape. So girls, I assure you that he will not wear that Batman cape when he graduates. So like the week before he graduated, we put it away. No, but I just use this episode to suggest that there are moments when that red light of anxiety is going to go off for legitimate reasons in our lives, and it would be dangerous to ignore it or fail to respond to its warnings. So today, as we talk about hope for your worry problem, I'm not suggesting that you can avoid every moment of anxiety that comes to your life, nor would you want to. God has outfitted us to feel emotions like anxiety and fear because they are a call to action when we're faced with a legitimate threat to our well-being. So we need to make a distinction between legitimate concern on one hand and bad worry on the other hand. The Apostle Paul speaks of facing daily his concern for all the churches. That word concern is the word worry. He's saying, there's times I just have a lot of worry. I feel the pressure of that worry for the churches, that I don't want them to fail, and I'm not there with them. And, you know, but here's the issue with that kind of legitimate concern. You always ask the question, what can I do about it? So Paul sometimes would pick up his pen and write, I got to send him some instruction. Other times he's praying, Lord, that you complete. Other times he's sending people to them because he knows they need to be completed. He's looking at what do these people need right now so I don't have to just live in this perpetual fear. So legitimate concern, what can I do about it? Now that's unlike bad worry, what we're talking about today, which probably accounts for 95% of all the things we worry about. They're like, there's nothing I can do about it. But I'm just sitting here letting it stew in my life. In other words, legitimate concern would be the instant bit of maybe tension you feel when you sense something isn't right physically, or you've got a pain that you didn't have before. And so, we'll wait till tomorrow and see if it's any better or whatever. And yeah, we pray about it, but I'm not going to let my mind be filled with all kind of worry about what if and this and that. But it doesn't go away. So what do? I call the doctor. I got to go have him check out what's going on. Why? Because he's going to give me a little bit of information. And then I find out, oh, it's not really any big thing either, you know, or maybe I got to take a little medication or whatever it might be. And immediately the tension is silenced, the worry abated. Why? Because I took appropriate action. However, bad worry is all the what if stewing and pondering we do about things over which we have no control. What if I lose my job? What if I lose my health? What if my 401k tank? What am I going to do if such and such happens? What if one of my kids gets sick? This is the worry about which Jesus was talking when he said in Matthew 6, 25 to 27, therefore I tell you, do not worry, a word which means to basically split your mind apart. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Think about that. What is your worry producing right now? If there's something you can do about it, do it, and you don't have to worry about it. But there's nothing you can do about it. What should you be doing with those? Well, as you read on through that passage, Jesus in essence teaches that the antidote to worry is trust. Did you hear me? The antidote to worry is trust. He says in verse 30 in the worry passage, O you of little faith. So you have to say that to you? You want to know why you're worrying? Because you're not trusting. O you of little faith. And so he confronts us throughout this passage with our lack of trust in our Heavenly Father. He asks us, don't you believe your Heavenly Father cares about you? I mean, if he takes care of the birds and you're worth far more to him than birds, won't he take care of you as well? Don't you believe your Father knows your needs and is committed to providing for you? And if you do believe these things, why are you fretting and worrying all the time? Oh, you of little faith, the antidote to worry is trust. And so I want to help you come into a place of trust today by giving you five keys that can help you move from worry to trust. And I put them in a little acrostic for you, okay? So get your pens out and listen, practice this stuff. I know it works because I practice it in my own life. It's easy to say, well, just trust. I want to give you five keys to activating trust. So here's key number one. Here's the T. Turn your worry into prayer instantly. If you're gonna trust, you find yourself worrying. Oh, I'm gonna take that worry, turn it into prayer instantly. I've taught you before that if you're a great worrier, that's a sign that you can be a great prayer warrior, right? If you're a great worrier, you can be a great warrior. All you have to do is flip your worries into prayers. Because they're essentially the same thing, only with a different focus. See, worry is mulling over your thoughts, fears, and concerns with yourself. It's self-focused churning. Prayer is simply taking those same thoughts, and rather than just mulling them over within yourself, you're taking your thoughts, your fears, concerns, and you're mulling them over with God, and then leaving them in His hands. This is why the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Look at this, Living Bible. I love this translation. It says, don't worry about anything. How is it possible not to worry about anything? Well, I don't know about that. I can only tell you that the moment I do experience worry happening, I can do the next thing. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Take the worry and flip it into prayer. You see? That's what he's saying. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Do you see? If you want to know peace and rest, turn your worry into prayer instantly. A writer by the name of Paul Thigpen tells of a day when he, along with his four-year-old daughter and his wife, were raking his mother-in-law's huge lawn. All of a sudden, his wife shouted in a rather panicked tone, "My engagement ring! It fell off somewhere." Now, obviously, that wasn't a life-threatening situation, but for most women, I imagine losing your engagement ring would be a rather disappointing prospect, and the initial discovery of its loss might evoke a little fretting over whether you will ever find it again. I mean, think about it. They've got to survey 12 massive waste bags stuffed with pine needles and leaves, bags that would have to be opened and dumped out one by one, and even then they may not find it, and you're saying, where in this lawn? You talk about a needle in a haystack. That's what they're up against. At this point, the four-year-old daughter suggested, "Let's ask God to show us where to start." Paul says he was tempted to dismiss the notion as impractical, like, you know, God's got more important things to do than to show us where to start looking for a lost ring in a pile of leaves. But then he thought, well, what if she's the one who's listening to God in this moment? Thank God for four-year-olds. So he said, and true story, guys, you can just kind of imagine them sitting there in the lawn. He said, "All right, let's ask the Lord to show us where the ring is." So they sat down on the grass, prayed for help, and remained quiet for a moment. And suddenly, the four-year-old daughter cried out, "God told me." And then she pointed to one of the bags. "Open that one, Daddy." He says, "I turned the bag on its side, opened it, and guess what? The ring tumbled out." He says, "That day, my little girl showed that she had ears to hear what the Lord was saying, and her parents learned a valuable lesson about the unexpected ways God might answer our prayers if we'll turn to him and listen instead of letting worry and panic run our lives." Now, we all have enough experience with prayer to know that the answers aren't always that easy or instant, but here's what I know. The surest way not to get a miracle is not to ask for one. And secondly, even while I'm waiting for an answer to come, it's far better to experience the peace and rest that trust brings than the panic and turmoil that worry brings. Never really known my worry to accomplish anything, except get me off focus from what I really can be doing. I remember the day my oldest daughter, we moved out here to the Dunlap District when she was entering junior high. She already had her friends from fifth and sixth grade. She came home the first day, second day, crying from junior high because she doesn't have any friends. I remember before she went out the door in the morning, the Lord prompted me, said, "Sit with Catherine and pray with her today and ask me to give her some friends." And we did. I'll never forget that day. She came back that day, the very morning we prayed that God would give her some friends today. And she found friends that day that are still friends in her life. I remember the day I dropped Jonathan off at college. I thought I would die. He was so much a part of my heart. And he thought he would die. I found out later that he sat for almost, he just wasn't a guy that was real outgoing in this. He sat for almost a week in the cafeteria by himself. Called me a week or two into school and said, "Dad, can I come home? I don't want to be here." I said, "Jonathan, I would never punish you by making you stay somewhere you don't want to be. But I really feel that one of the cardinal things you have to learn in your life, you like to start some things that you don't finish. And I really feel it's important you stay. You give it 1 year. And if at the end of this year you can tell me that this isn't where you're supposed to be, I won't make you stay there, but you gotta dig down. I'm gonna be praying for you. You need to be praying." I wanna tell you guys, it was somewhere within that week that it all changed. Basketball started up. He found his friends. He was off and running. That became second home for him. I'm just saying, the challenge is that we as mom and dad would have been sitting there just stewing and, "What do we do?" You know? Turn your worry into prayer instantly. Now, while you're doing that, here's key number two. Restrain. There's your R. Restrain, or you might even say reject negative thinking immediately. I'm turning my worries into prayer. I don't want to be letting my negativity run the show. Zig Ziglar used to call negative thoughts stinking thinking. Stinking thinking is any thought that makes you feel more and more anxious about your situation and less hopeful. Stinking thinking is any thought that causes you to trust God less and to activate fear more. I've never yet met a person of great faith with a great attitude, a great outlook, who hasn't learned to restrain and reject those negative thoughts and replace them with positive, faith-filled thoughts. You either take control of your thoughts or your thoughts will take control of you. Just as you restrain an out-of-control child that's creating mayhem, so you have to restrain out-of-control thoughts, because that's what they're like. They're like spoiled, rotten kids that try to run the show. So isn't it interesting? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Then the peace of God is going to come. That's verse 7. But most people don't realize the context of verse 8. Look at it. Philippians 4:8 draws the connection between praying instantly when we're tempted to worry and taking aggressive control of our thought life. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Now, when the Apostle Paul says, think about these things, he's telling us that we can choose our thoughts, which means that we can change our thoughts when worry and anxiety are trying to take over our minds. We can kick them out or we can welcome them in. We can decide to trust God and believe for the best, or we can let worry run wild and believe for the worst. Either way, it's our choice. One author put it like this. He said, if you owned an apartment complex and you rented 80% of the apartments to drug dealers and thieves and cheaters, and then you rented the other 20% to normal law-abiding citizens, after a few months, the drug dealers and cheaters would run off all the normal people. He said, it's the same way in controlling what lives in your mind. If you dwell constantly on the problems and the worries in your life and all the anxious what-if scenarios of your future, all those negative thoughts will run off any positive thoughts. So he says, quit renting space to worry and fear and kick all that stinking thinking out. Because this I know for sure, those negative, worry-filled, panic-producing thoughts are, listen, they're not coming from God. He's not the one sitting there telling you to get into full force panic. He's not the one inducing you to worry and fear. That's not the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us are going to have to really work on this one, because we've allowed those negative tenets to rent space in our minds for years. It's almost like, well, if I don't hear them, there must be something wrong. If I'm not worried. Now, we rent out that space, and consequently, all we ever see is a negative. Years ago, I read about two farmers, one always positive, the other always negative. When the rain would fall, the positive guy would say, thank you, Lord, for watering the crops. The other would say, yeah, but if this rain keeps up, it's going to rot the roots and we're going to be in trouble. When the sun was shining, the positive farmer would say, thanks, Lord, for the sunshine that's given our crops the vitamins and minerals they need to produce a bumper crop this year. Negative farmer would say, yeah, but if it keeps up, those crops will get scorched and then we'll have nothing. You've met some farmers like that. I have. They went out duck hunting together one day, and the positive farmer brought along his new bird dog. I mean, he was so proud of that dog, he couldn't wait to show it off, and sure enough, it wasn't long before the positive farmer shot himself a duck and needed the bird dog to retrieve it from the middle of the lake. He turned to his negative buddy and said, now watch what this dog can do. At that point, the dog jumped out of the boat and ran on top of the water to get the duck, picked it up and ran back to the boat on top of the water and hopped in. Potted farmer was beaming from ear to ear as he turned to his hunting partner and said, what do you think of that? Negative farmer immediately shot back, just what I thought, that dog can't swim. Now listen to me. When you let stinking thinking dominate your mind, not even God can impress you, regardless of what he does. He's trying to show you all the positive things in your life and get you to trust him with your future. And you're saying, yeah, but no, you kick that stuff out quickly. The instant those thoughts start talking, you restrain negative thoughts immediately. Turn worry to prayer instantly. Restrain negative thoughts immediately. That leads you to the you. Here it is. Key number three, uplift your attitude regularly. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Listen, constant worry will crush your spirit and steal the joy from your life. And that's exactly where the enemy directs his arrows. It's always at your joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If he can steal your joy, he'll take your strength. Don't let him do that. Jesus told his disciples that if they were trusting him, they could be of good cheer. He actually commanded it, which means we are to partner with him. Lift up your head. Get your joy on. Be of good cheer. It's a command. And sometimes we have to be intentional about cheering ourselves up and pursuing joy. I read a recent study that said the average 4-year-old laughs about 200 times a day, while the average 40-year-old laughs about 4 times a day. I believe that's probably true. I just had a 4-year-old at my house for the past week. We've been taking care of some grandkids. I believe they laugh like that. I'm 63. I believe that one's true as well, probably down to 4 times a day. The average kid smiles about 400 times a day, while the average adult smiles an average of 20 times a day. Why is that? I believe it's because the pressures of life, the stress, the anxiety wears down little by little as we get older. But friends, listen, just because we get older doesn't mean we have to get grumpier. A few years ago, I received a phone call from a delightful, joy-filled 87-year-old lady who used to attend this church. They had sent me, they hadn't even been here in 10 years. They were living out in Phoenix. And they had sent me a check for a particular project we were doing, celebrating what we're doing, even though they haven't been here in 10 years. And I called her to say, man, thank you. How are you guys doing? And she's just all, Kel, we bought every tape and CD this church ever put out. Can't ever find another Northwoods. Oh, we will never forget that church. We love that church, you know. And we just wanted to bless you guys and this type of thing. I mean, she had this pastor like, holy cow, this is somebody who hadn't even been here in 10 years. We laughed. We talked together. She said the Lord had blessed them with good health. In fact, she said, my husband's out playing tennis right now. 87 years old. And then I really love this one. She said, we still go jitterbug dancing regularly. I'm imagining his 87-year-old's jitterbugging. And I thought, holy cow, I want to be like her when I grow up. Studies have confirmed that one of the traits shared by those who live into their 90s is that they find joy in everyday life. Laughter is their best medicine. I read about one good-humored grandmother who lived to be 103 years old when she went into the hospital for something at the age of 100. Her grandson called and asked her if they had discovered what was wrong without missing a beat. She said, well, so far they've ruled out pregnancy. Don't you love it? Joel Osteen shares in his book, Every Day of Friday, of meeting a new visitor one Sunday at his church. She was this very healthy, sharp, 96-year-old lady. He said her skin was beautiful, her eyes were bright, but what struck him most was how happy she was. He said it appeared that she had never met a stranger. Everyone around her was like her best friend. She was wearing this bright, colorful dress. He said, man, she was just a breath of fresh air. He said, after we talked, I hugged her, and as I was leaving, I said in passing, you know, when I'm 96 years old, I hope to look as good as you do. He said, at that point, she leaned in close and whispered in his ear, just don't wear a dress. But he said, I want to follow her example as I grow older. I've made up my mind that I don't ever want to be a grumpy old man. I will not let myself grow more and more sour the older I become. I'm staying full of joy. When it's my time to go, I'm leaving with a smile on my face, a laugh in my heart, and a joke in my pocket. I thought, isn't that right? Guys, if you're trusting God, you can be of good cheer. Uplift your attitude regularly, and then I like to say, and notify your face when you do. So you're going to turn, there's your T, turn your worry to fear instantly, and then you're going to reject, or you're going to, you know, those negative thoughts immediately when they come. Then you're going to uplift your attitude constantly. Here's key number four. You know, you uplift your attitude regularly, and then here's the S, speak faith-filled words constantly. See, this all goes together. How do I know if I'm trusting God rather than letting worry run my life? Well, you will know by the things that are coming out of your mouth. Over the years, I've become more and more aware of the enormous power our words carry for good or bad, depending on how we use them. And particularly, is this true in either establishing an inner posture of trust or watering seeds of worry? In fact, I had never seen the connection between our worries and our words until I was reading Matthew 6 one day and noticed in verse 31 that Jesus said, look at this, so do not worry. He should have said, so do not worry thinking. It's not what he said. So do not worry saying. Do you see? My worries are coming out through what I say. And he's going, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Do you see the connection? The more we speak about our worries, the more we empower them in our lives. Jesus said, don't do that. Do not worry saying, don't think I'm ever going to pass that test. Probably never going to find a job. Who's going to hire someone this old? I doubt that I'll ever get over this disease. I'm never going to have enough to retire. This situation's never going to work out. My dreams never come to pass. Don't empower and feed your worries by constantly speaking about them. Rather, begin to change that situation around by speaking God's word, by speaking his promises, by declaring faith-filled statements about that situation. God, thank you that you have the answer to my situation, that you are at work for good in all these things. By faith, I declare that I am blessed today and worry will have no part of my life because you love me and you care about me. You know my needs and you are committed to providing for me. Guys, you might be amazed at how much better you would feel if you got up each morning and went on the offensive by agreeing with God and speaking faith-filled words over your life, your family, your circumstances, your work. Instead of just passively accepting and entertaining every negative and worrisome thought that comes in your mind, think faith-filled thoughts on purpose and speak them. Get up in the morning and make a declaration of faith. Think, you know, say out loud to yourself, this is going to be a great day. God is directing my steps. His favor is surrounding me like a shield, and I know that he's working all things for my good. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to have to worry about that today because you got it. Amen? Come on, speak those faith-filled words. That's part of trusting. Don't tell me you're trusting and all the time just speaking your anxiety. Now you turn your prayer or your worries into prayer instantly. And then you restrain negative thinking immediately. You uplift your attitude regularly. You speak faith-filled words constantly. And then you'll be ready for key number five, that T that kind of makes the sandwich. Thank God for his goodness. Daily. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I've told you before about the farmer who named his two big German shepherd dogs Goodness and Mercy, so that each day he'd be reminded as those dogs were following him around on the farm that the goodness and mercy of God was following him around as well. Guys, here's what I know. God's goodness and mercy followed you the moment you woke up and got out of bed today. Your drive over here to the church and your walk in here, God's goodness and mercy just following you around. When you leave here today, wherever you're going to go to next, the goodness and mercy of God is going to follow you. That's his promise. The question is, do you have eyes to see it? Or are you just focused on all the bad things that are going on? Because I assure you, his goodness and mercy is there. Thank him. Let gratitude be the hallmark of your life. And guys, it'll drive worry from your life because worry can't grow in a thankful heart. Remember that verse in Philippians 4:6 about turning worry into prayer? Look at what it says. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. The NIV just talks about how you lift up your supplications to the Lord with thanksgiving. Thank him that, as Jesus said, God cares, God knows, God is present, and he's at work for your good. So if it doesn't look good yet, it's because the work ain't done yet. And if that's true, then why should I give way to worry? Am I fearful that he's going to lie and not come through for me? Amazing to think that our mighty God can watch over everything regarding me at the same time he can watch over everything regarding you and not be distracted or put out in the least. Love a little story of the kid that came home and gotten in trouble at his school that day, Christian school, because of a little note he wrote. They were going through the lunch line, and one of the teachers had put a note next to the large pile of apples. It said, "Take only one. God is watching." His little kid's explaining to his dad, "Well, I just put a little note down to the large pile of chocolate chip cookies. And it said, take all the cookies you want. God is watching the apples." Cute, but he missed the fact that God can be watching the apples and the cookies all at the same time with no problem at all. And friend, the Bible tells us he's got his eye on you as well. I don't know what your situation is right now, but I do know God wants to show himself powerful in the midst of it. I don't know what's got you worried today, but I do know 1 Peter 5:7 says you can cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. I don't know what's got you downcast and hurried and worried and stressed out today, but friend, if you know he cares for you, you might as well throw those worries to the wind and start singing your song again, knowing, as the old song says, that if his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he watches me. Amen? Come on, give him praise for that. Now, I want you to bow your head and your heart. We're going to just conclude with a time of communion. And I want him to seal this truth in your heart today. And I want you, before you take communion, what is it that you're carrying in your heart? What is it that you brought in here today? What's got you worried? I want you to name that and like make a fist around it. This is what I'm carrying. And now I want you to feel the release of that as you say, God, I'm ready to give this to you. Just open your hand. And you're saying, thank you, Lord, that you care. Thank you, Lord, that you got this. Thank you that I can cast all my cares on you because you care for me. And I'm going to trust you rather than let worry run my life. How do you know you can trust him? Well, let's let communion remind you today of how much he loves and cares for you. If you were to ask Jesus, how much do you love me, Lord? Well, guys, he stretched out his arms and allowed his hands to be nailed to a cross to say this much. And then the Bible says in Romans 8, verses 31 and 32, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. Just tell him, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you do care for me. Now, I want you to just take the little element off the top of the cup there. Jesus said on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. I want you to just pray in your heart this prayer with me today. Communion is powerful. He's here to lift your worries off of you. But here's what I want you to say to him today. Lord, thank you for bearing in your body all my worries, my cares, my hassles, my diseases, my sicknesses. And I now, by an act of faith, cast all my cares upon you, and I receive over my body, soul, and spirit your care and your love and your every provision for my well-being through your body broken for me. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Let's partake together. And then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood given for the remission of sins. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. I want you to unite your heart with me in prayer right now. I want you to say this in your heart to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your blood has covered my past, present, and future, and has made provision for me to triumph in all things. I declare today that I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. And through your blood, Lord Jesus, I now take authority over every worry and every fear that has come against me. I renounce them in Jesus' name. And today I choose to be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. I receive your blood as my overcoming power today. Let's receive it together. Amen, amen, amen. Let's stand together, guys. I want to just remind you of what Nathan shared earlier, that this Thursday, February 10th, maybe as just a next step out of this message, 12 o'clock to 12:30, so hopefully it's over your lunchtime somewhere. Use a portion of your lunch, go online, and we'll have folks there to pray with you if you would like ministry around any fears or worries that you're dealing with, okay? Listen, we're gonna make our declaration today, and after that, you're free to go. You need prayer for something, you come on down, but you all have a great week. But listen, I want you full-throated now, okay? Here we go. You're gonna say it after me. In Jesus' name, I renounce all anxiety and worry, because I know my life is in God's hands. He cares for me, and his goodness and mercy will follow me this day and this week. So I will trust him in Jesus' name. Amen. That's your declaration, guys. Go out of here on fire, all right? You have a great week. Come back next week. We'll have some more good stuff for you. God bless you all. Those of you watching today online, thank you for joining us. I pray that God's going to help you turn those worries into trust through these five steps that I've given you. Practice them, guys, and you'll see that God will keep your mind and heart in perfect peace. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you so much, Pastor Cal, for that awesome message. You know, I think worry is just one of those topics that I feel like is just in everyone's mind a lot. There's a lot to be worried about, but it's so comforting to know that we don't have to live with that worry. We have hope because of Jesus.
That's
so
right.
I love just, it's always good to have a reminder about that.
Yeah. Speaking of hope, I hope that you will join us in one of the many opportunities I was kind of telling you about before to volunteer, okay? You probably heard a little bit about this already, but I'm going to tell you again, there's so many ways that you can get plugged in. I think we've got everything. You know, you can help out with media. You can help out with singing. You can help out with holding babies.
Absolutely.
You can help out. I don't know if we have knitting clubs, but that'd be cool. Maybe we'll even start a volunteer club for you, okay? Anything you can think of. We've got a spot for you.
Absolutely. And we have tools, you know, to help you figure out where is that best spot for you based on the way that God has uniquely created and designed you and given you different gifts and talents. So if you're somebody who loves to be in front and maybe greet people when they come in, we can help you get plugged in there. But if you're somebody who likes to be behind the scenes, we have a lot of people like that around here too, and a lot of ways for you to serve. So wherever you feel like you fit best,
anywhere,
we probably have something that works. And truly, Trey said this at the beginning, but we cannot pull off what we pull off around here at Northwoods without volunteers. And so we just want to invite you into that. It's a good time. We have
fun. It is. So much fun.
Yeah, we have great. Trey, you tell a dad joke every day.
Every single Sunday.
Yes.
All right? They all get the dad joke. I don't know if that's entirely why people come, but I like to think that it has something to do with it. So, you know, you never know. There could be a volunteer, you know, overseer with a dad joke near you in your specific department.
Absolutely. So, again, we're so glad that you're here with us today. If you want to get plugged in and serve, there's going to be a link on your screen where you can see all of these opportunities that we've talked about. But until next week, we hope that you have an awesome week ahead.